We think of the ministry that the Gideons sustain, and looking around, I don't think there's anyone here who doesn't know something about them and has heard some of the testimonies of people whose lives have been changed by God's Word. I heard another recently that was a great encouragement to me. But I've asked Mr. Hancock, as he comes to share with us this morning, if he wouldn't just give at least a thumbnail sketch, again, Ray, of the Gideons, how that organization began, how God raised it up, something of how it's been used, and to encourage us that way. We're grateful for God's Word in a number of venues getting out into the hands of our fellow creatures, aren't we? And this is one of the ways God has been doing that over the years. So, Ray, would you come this morning and share that report with us? Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Dan. I'm going to step up here on account of the Bibles I needed to show you and so forth. But it's a delight to be with you all this morning and to come here to worship with you. I can recall a few years back driving up down the road out here when the church was under construction, that I knew it was going to be a beautiful place, and it is. We were just looking around at the interior of the building. It is a beautiful place. But we are here today to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, Gideon second, and so forth. I just want to bring you some updates on what the Gideons are doing and some numbers and so forth. So, and also I'll be bringing a few testimonies concerning people, how they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But I want to thank you, Brother Dan, and you, the congregation, for inviting us here on the behalf of the Gideons International. And it's our pleasure to be here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Won't you join me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the good night's rest and for the beautiful sunshine that you've given us this morning. We thank you for this church, Father, and for each member that's here today. We thank you for Brother Dan as he stands to lead this church. We pray that they all will have a good day today, that you will bless them, Father. We pray for someone that perhaps if they're sick or not feeling well today, we pray that you will touch them and make them whole. We pray for all the sick and the shut-in, the hurting and the suffering, and the lost and the dying of this world, that you will be with them today, that many will be healed. We know many will be stepping out into eternity today, Father. We pray that you will be with them. And if they are not saved, we pray by the power of thy Holy Spirit and according to your will that they will call upon the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and be saved today. We pray that you will be with our military, Father, here in this country and their families and around the world, that you will be with them today and touch them. We pray that you will keep them safe from harm. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the many blessings of life. Thank you for our country. We pray for our government that you will be with them, be with our president, as they wrestle with the decisions and the problems that we have in this country today and around this world. We thank you once again for the many blessings of life, for each day that you give us to live here upon this earth on our way home to you. Most of all, Father, we come to you and we pray for the lost of this world. We pray that the gospel, that our holy gospel will reach the hands of each and every one that lives upon the face of the earth that is accountable to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For it's in his name, amen. If you would like, would you turn your Bibles to Isaiah 55, and I'll be reading from the 10th verse and also the 11th verse. It simply states, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it." God is simply telling us in his word that when his word is placed in this country and throughout the world, that it does not come back void, that it comes back in many returns, people letting us know how they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in different environments in different parts of the world. I'm going to have to back up just a little bit. I've been wrestling with a cold for the last 3 or 4 days, and I'm sure it's coming out. But I'm going to try my best through the grace of God to get through this getting message today. So pray for me. I normally have a strong, stout voice, not boasting, but today it's hammered just a little bit from the cold. But I'm here today to talk about the Gideons and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the Gideons, we started back in 1899. The first organizational meeting was held in a little place called the YMCA building in Janesville, Wisconsin. There was only three present at that meeting, a Mr. Nicholson, a Mr. Hill, and a Mr. Knight. And they were spending times traveling on the road and so forth. And they had this meeting, and they were talking and discussing how the Holy Spirit had been speaking to one another to start placing these Bibles and things throughout the hotels and the motels throughout the United States. And from that humble beginning of just three people today, there's over 275,000 Gideons and all literally wives of the Gideons here today. So you can see how God has blessed the Gideons International. Of course, we start placing hotels and start placing Bibles in hotels and motels in 1908. Of course, the Gideons were just Christians, professional business and professional men. And our sole purpose is to win men and women, boys and girls, for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our sole purpose. We have nothing else. And we start doing this by placing Bibles in the hotels and motels in 1908. Mr. Archie Bailey, he asked for 25 copies of God's Word to be placed in the Superior Hotel in Iron Mountain, Montana. But today, as of today, we have placed through the leadership of God, and we give Him the honor and the glory, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 1.5 billion copies of God's Word has been placed in this country and around the world. They tell us there's about 6.5 billion people in the world, so 1.5 billion, that's a good start. I believe that we can place a copy of God's Word in the hands of each individual that's accountable to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In these hotels and motels, this is one of the Bibles that we place. And, of course, they tell us this has the potential of reaching 2,300 people in its six-year lifespan. And we have many testimonies coming back to the Gideons International, how people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in these hotels and motels. Many are there thinking about committing suicide. Many are thinking about divorces and things of this nature. But they can reach over and have reached over and picked up a copy of God's Word off the table or inside the desk drawer there and start reading for themselves. And before you know it, the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. And they come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's not a hard thing to do. It's once the Holy Spirit is speaking and you respond, I respond. Romans 10:13 makes it very plain. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Another testament that we place is this one here. We place it in the hospitals and convalescent centers and nursing homes throughout the United States. And this is something we start doing in 1916. You know, people coming into the hospitals and from accidents or maybe some kind of terrible disease that they may have contacted or so forth, and to have a copy of God's Word there on the nightstand or near the bed that someone can pick up and read, or perhaps they can read it for themselves. We know that there's many verses in here that is verses of joy and compassion, peace, and many verses like that. And you know, many people that go into the hospital, I know and you know as well, that they never come out, that they go home to be with the Lord or step out into eternity. But there's beautiful verses in this Bible, verses like Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all that you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. That's comforting words when a person is suffering in great pain and despair. I believe in the book of Job, the 14th chapter, the 14th verse, Job, he stated, he asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? I believe That great psalm of David had the answer to it. In the 23rd psalm of David, I believe he answered Job's question. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil till my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's Job's answer. And I believe Job, as it went on in the book of Job, of course he found that out, and he knew that God had prepared a great place for each and every one that has placed their faith and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Another testament that the Gideons, well, I'm going to back up a little bit. The auxiliary, they place this testament here, the wives of some of the Gideons, and it is given out to the nurses that make their living doing bedside nursing, and also is placed in doctor's offices and dentist's offices and places like that. So I won't elaborate too much on that. That's their work, and so I'll let that be. Another testament that we place is this one here. We've been doing this for years and years, and this goes to all the young men and women that are coming into the military. We've given out thousands down here at Fort Campbell and in bases throughout the land. Of course, we place this Bible here. We give it to the chaplains as well, and we also place it in airplanes and on steamships and trains, funeral homes, and, of course, the military itself. We place it in day rooms, libraries, and guardhouses, and military and veterans hospital, where they can have an access to this precious testament of God's word. And we've had many testimonies coming back telling us how these young men and women accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Many, after doing so, were in combat and they went home to be with the Lord. Many were preparing for combat. I think of Mr. Turner. He gives the account. It's simply entitled A G.I. Story, and they had a Gideon in his church one day, and Mr. Joe Estes, and as he was speaking, Brother Turner, he said, it carried me back to the days when I was in Korea. Of course, it's been several years ago now, but I believe it's just as relevant today that it was then, and he said, it carried me back to the time when we were disembarking the ship. He was a corporal in the 24th Infantry Division in the United States Army. And he said, as we disembarked the ship, that there was a Gideon standing there, and he was handing out these testaments. He said, I didn't see anyone turn it down, that they all took it and placed it gently in his pocket. He said, some days later, I got to see that Gideon, one of those Gideon testaments in action. So we were on patrol somewhere in South Korea. And as we came across this shallow stream, that there lied an American GI. And that you could tell that he had been there for several days. That in his left hand was his canteen, and in his right hand was this Gideon testament. And said, as I draw closer to him, trying to get close enough to read what he had been reading, that these words jumped out at me. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it was not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Wasn't it great for that young man to have a copy of God's word lying there in a pool of water, in a stream of water, perhaps searching, or perhaps just to reassure himself that I know all the suffering and the struggle and the pain that I'm going through, that after it's all over, said and done, that I know that there is a mansion waiting for me in the kingdom of God. Or perhaps he was struggling in the last hour of life to find out about his Savior, about a place that I can go through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. People are suffering all over this world. They're suffering here in this land and in many countries of the world. I've been in a number of countries of this world. It seems like every place that you go, People are suffering and hurting. It is hard, you know, for this country to feed everyone upon the face of the earth. But I do believe with all my heart and soul that we can give them a copy of God's Word. And that will give them hope. That will give them hope that all the hell that they go through here upon this earth, that when it's all over, said and done, through our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross and the blood that flowed down, if they will accept that and commit their lives to Him, coming in repentance, they can be saved and go home and be with the Lord forever. That is my ultimate goal today, and I pray that it's each one of you that are here today that is your ultimate goal, to do all that we can to help others to find the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ while we're living here. In John 9:4, it states, we should work while it's day, for the night will come when no man can work. Jesus said in John 12:32, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. That means go and tell. Tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift Him up. Tell them about the plan of salvation, that they can be saved. And there's a heaven waiting for them when this life is over. Another testament that is placed, this is the one that we give to the young people that are coming into the colleges and universities throughout the United States. We know that many of them are coming into these colleges and universities, perhaps don't know what their profession will be or their vocation and so forth, but this book has all the answers of life. It's a roadmap, so to speak. I like to use that term, roadmap, because it's a guideline for our lives. It lets us know how to get from here to there. And that's what a map is all about. If we're going to plan a vacation or something, we'll sit down and we'll look at that map. And if we're going to California, so to speak, or San Francisco, whatever, we will try to figure out the road and the highways to get on. But we know with this God's Word is here that we must have a key to enter into the kingdom of God. I used that terminology quite a bit when I was in Kenya over in Africa back in 1987. And I would speak to the people there that lived in the jungles of Kenya. Their language is Swahili, and we had interpreters and translators and so forth. And I would use the terminology of a key. And they would ride this old bus from Mombasa to the city of Mombasa out into the jungle there and back and so forth. And I would tell them, I said, you have to have a ticket, so to speak, to get, you know, from Mombasa out here to the jungles, or key, to drive the bus and so forth. And I would drive that terminology home to them. And then I would go into the Bible, into the Testament, and tell them about the plan of salvation. And you must have Jesus Christ in order to get to heaven. He's your ticket. He's your key, so to speak. And by using that simple, plain terminology, we had a lot of Kenyans come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Another testament that we place. We've been doing this for many, many years. I think this started in 1946. This is the one that we give out to all the fifth graders here in the United States. And it's a work that I dearly love. I've been doing this for years and years and going to the schools and so forth. And it's amazing the smile that comes on these children's face once you give them a copy of God's Word. I can remember back when I was in school a few years ago, and I received my first copy of God's Word was a Gideon Testament. I didn't have one at home, didn't know too much about the Lord, and I received that copy that day at school, and I kept it for a long, long time, for many, many years. And so it's just a blessing that we can hand these out through the leadership of the Holy Spirit to these young people, to these children that are in the fifth grade. And I can remember at Millbrook there in Christian County, Hopkinsville, Christian County, and we were standing out in the hall that particular day passing these out to the fifth graders in Millbrook School. I believe it was four fifth grades. But anyway, this little boy, he came up to me and pulled me on my church leave. He said, you know what? I said, no, I don't, son. What? He said, I was saved today. And I thought, after he received his testament, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And that's the first time that a young child had came up while we were handing out these testaments. And he told me that I was saved today. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. But there's many testimonies concerning this about the fifth graders and how they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and so forth. And I'm going to tell you about one. I'll give you one testimony. I'll be paraphrasing just a little bit because it's a rather long testimony. And it's about a little boy named Otis Townsend. Otis lived in a little town called Lupton, Mississippi, just outside of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And Ms. Townsend said, we didn't go to church. And she had six sons, and so we didn't believe in the Lord. We just didn't go to church. And so we went to every other place, and I'd care the kids. She was very protective of them. And she would let them go spend the night with anyone. She'd always carry them to school and to the matinee picture shows on Saturday afternoon and places like that. And but she wouldn't let them spend the night with anybody and so forth. So Mr. Gideon, he came to the school and said, Otis come running out to the car one day and said, I would go to school to pick him up. And he had this little Gideon testament in his hand. Said, look, Mom, look what Mr. Gideon gave me today. She said, what, son? I said, this testament, this Bible. And said, he just was overjoyed. Said, he carried it home and went upstairs and he wrapped it up in some paper or something and put it there on the bureau there in his bedroom. Ms. Townsend said, every time I would go in to clean the room up, that there, that little testament would be lying there. And said, Otis, said, I carry him to the movies on Saturday afternoon. And said, one Saturday afternoon, said, Otis, he come running out, come out of the theater along with his brothers. And there was a man standing outside the theater. And he once been, was the town drunk or an alcoholic. And he would give the kids candy and gum and invite them to Sunday school and church. So Otis, he came on out to the car. He said, Mom, said, Brother Jack has invited us to Sunday school and church tomorrow. Said, can I go or can we go? She said, sure, son, said, you can go. So the next day, said, I carried them up to the church, and they enrolled there in Sunday school and start going. And said, Otis, he was just thrilled. I said, it wasn't too long before the vacation Bible school started. And Otis, of course, he attended. They'd come running home one day after I picked him up and we came into the house. And that I was preparing the Sunday meal. And so the Otis come running up to me. He said, Mom, guess what? She said, what, son? He said, I was saved today. He had that little testament turned down to Romans 9 and 10. She said, you were what? He said, I was saved today. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. She said, oh, son. Said, go on. I said, Mom, let me show you how to be saved. Let me tell you about Jesus. She said, no, go on, go on. I said, I've got to prepare this meal. Mom, let me show. Let me show you how to be saved. Had that little testament turned down to Romans 10:9. If thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto the righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses salvation. Otis, he turned and walked away. Ms. Townsend said, I could see the despair on his face. But said, Otis wouldn't give up. Ms. Townsend said, every time I turned around, said, Otis was there. Said, Mom, let me show you how to be saved. Let me show you how to be saved. She said, Otis had a paper out along with some of the other brothers. And he would said, I would give him money, and he would buy candy and gum, and he would go up and down the streets, and he'd invite kids, young boys and girls, to come to Sunday school and come to church. Ms. Townsend said, I knew that I needed something in my life, and that I start praying. And I invited the Lord to come into my life, and I accepted him as my personal Savior. That Otis and some of the other boys, of course, they were distributing papers and so forth. They start going to church. Some of the other children, the other brothers, they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But then one day, Otis, he started in on his dad. His dad always had the excuse I've got to work. Miss Townsend said, I tried to get him to go to church with us. You start going. He said, no, I've got to work today. She said, you can just go with us today. She said, no, I've got to work. But one Sunday, Otis climbed up on the arm of his chair of his dad. And there was a picture in the dining room with the Lord holding a little lamb. He had a staff and all the other little lambs were around him. Otis, he put his arm around his dad. He said, Dad, you know what I believe that picture reminds me of? He said, what, son? That I believe that little lamb is a child, and I believe he's leading them all home. And it wasn't too long that Ray Osis's dad accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Ms. Thompson said, we had two wonderful years as a Christian family. That one day they called me from school, and Otis had become ill. The coach said they'd been playing football, so maybe he pulled his stomach or something. But anyway, they carried him on to the doctor there in Lupton, and he couldn't do anything for him, so they carried him on over to Haddock Spirit, and they started running some tests, and they found out that Otis had a tumor in his stomach. So he went to the hospital, and he stayed there for a number of days. They performed surgery, and Ms. Townsend said, we began to pray, and said Otis did get better, and we thought he was well. Then he went back home, came back home, regained his color, regained his weight, took the final exams, and passed on to the seventh grade. He made the highest score in his class on his final exams. But she said it wasn't too long that he became ill. They rushed him back to the hospital, and this time the cancer had came back into his liver. And she said, the long days as he was there in the hospital, that I kept praying to the Lord that he would heal his little body. Oh, she thought so much of them children. She said, I just don't know how that I could live in this world to think that I might lose Otis. That I kept praying, that I wouldn't go home, that Otis would try to encourage me, Mom, go home, get you some rest. She said, no, that I'll stay here. So one day, that Ray went down the hall, Otis's dad, to check on another young child that had been severely burned. And so while he was gone, said Otis looked up at me. He said, Mom, I said, listen. She said, what, son? But that's the choir, that I can hear him singing. She said, oh, son, said, I don't hear anything. That it was so quiet in the room, you could hear a pin drop. He said, Mom, that's a choir. She said, oh, it must be a train, son. No, Mom, that's a choir. And about that time that Ray came back into the room, Otis is dead. He raised his little arms up. He said, Dad, pick me up. And he reached down, he picked him up. Ms. Townsend said, while he was holding Otis, I'd ask God if it's his will to let him live, but if it was not, to take him home. And before he could place him back on the bed, Otis had slipped out into eternity. Ms. Townsend said, oh, my heart was broken. Absolutely broken. I was devastated to think that I had lost one of my precious sons. That the doctor, the surgeon, he took us all out and set us down. He said, Ms. Townsend said, it may not be any consolation to you now, but no one has affected my Christian life any more than this young child. Ms. Townsend said, the day of the funeral, said he had two favorite possessions. Said one of them was a little identification bracelet. They placed it on his wrist, on his arm. And the other one was this Gideon Testament. They placed that in his hands. And said, I know God knew Otis's name. And I know that God knew that Otis was a student of this book. And he had gone home to be at the feet of the greatest teacher of all. Otis, he loved the Lord. He loved God's word. Ms. Townsend said he wanted to be a missionary when he grew up. He was corresponding with a missionary in Tahiti. Said that's what he wanted to be. He said, I want to go all over the world telling everyone about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She said after the funeral that I would continue to go to school to pick him up. I would continue to set his plate at night at the supper table. And that I could just see him walking up and down the street. The total strangers. Do you know my Lord? Let me show you how to be saved. Something that he did while he lived here upon this earth. Ms. Townsend said, I just want to thank the ones that placed a copy of God's Word in the hands of a little lost boy from a lost home. The Gideons, of course, we are in other lands of the world. We're in 188 countries of the world. And they tell us in these 188 countries that we have the potential of reaching 4.4 billion people with a copy of God's Word. We have the Testaments and the Bibles printed in 84 different languages. Just as soon as we hand a person that lives in another country a copy of God's Word, he can open it up immediately. I can remember when we was in Russia that we had some small Bibles printed up in the Russian language, and we would hand it to them. We was aboard a plane. There was only a few Americans on there, myself and about 10 more, and the rest of them were Russians. And we were flying out of John F. Kennedy Airport on our way to Moscow, Russia. And we got a little board sitting there, so we took these Bibles and jumped up and started going around over the plane. There was about 300 of us on there, and handing them out to the people, the Russian people. And immediately they would take them and nod and grin and shake your hand, and they knew exactly what that was. And they were delighted to get it. But of course, we're in a lot of countries of the world. They tell us it's about 240 countries approximately in this world. So we still have 52 or more to go. But I believe if we all work together diligently, and we need your help to buy Scripture, to have it printed and distributed, if we all will work and do our share, I believe that we can place a copy of God's Word. I repeat it again. I can't repeat it enough. That we can do this, that we can get a copy of God's Word in the hand of each individual, regardless of his nationality, regardless of his color. The Bible says that we all are one blood. We may look a little different, and we do look different. We have different colors, we have different aspects, different physical appearance, and so forth. But we all are God's children. He made each and every one of us for a purpose. And I believe as Christians, let us not keep it hid within our hearts and hold on to it and not tell the world about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For eternity is a mighty, mighty long time, and hell is a mighty, mighty hot place. I like to use this quote for myself. I'm a nobody, a sinner saved by grace, trying to tell everybody about somebody, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. In closing, I would like to use a short testimony, and it's about John Elliott. I'm sure that Brother Dan and many of you here have heard about Jim Elliott. He was a missionary to the country of Ecuador in South America. And Jim was sent there to bring the gospel to the Ica Indians, along with four other missionaries. And they thought they had made peace, so to speak, friends with these people. And some of them were civilized, some of them were not civilized. But anyway, something went wrong. And Jim was murdered or martyred, along with all the other missionaries. And they all gave their life for the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to spread the gospel. But Jim, he wrote a quote down before he died, and it simply states, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So I'm going to leave it up to you and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. If you would like to give to the Gideons International, it would be greatly appreciated. I can promise you this, that every dollar that is given goes to buy Bibles and Testament, 100%. We pay our own dues, and we have other funds and things that we raise that we have to pay. her own administrative cost and things of that nature. So I don't know of any association that can give you more return on the dollar than the Gideon's International as far as spreading God's word in this country and around the world. So I ask that you please and continue to pray for the Gideon's International. Pray for your church. Pray for all churches throughout the land that lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray for each individual. And but beyond it all, pray for this lost and dying world. They tell us that thousands and thousands leave this world every day, going out into eternity. You know, life is very brief. I mean, it's a short span. And when you stack it up against eternity, there's no equal. You know, the Lord, he said, I have no pleasure in seeing anyone that perish. And I have no, personally for me, I have no pleasure in seeing someone leave this earth and do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Regardless what they have done in this life and how hard it may be, many have taken the lives of other individuals, of other Christians. But through it all, I personally would want to see them in the kingdom of God. So God bless you all. Thank you once again, Brother Dan. Thank you, the congregation, for inviting us here on behalf of the Gideon's International. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to back up just a minute, man. I don't want to step out of character too much, but I want to mention the cards. I've got a bad habit about not saying much about these cards that the Gideons have today, and I've only have three here today with me. We have all kind of cards, and of course these cards are printed, and they're cards like a memory card, someone that you want to remember that have passed on, and you can place some Bibles in their memory, mobilize them, so to speak, and their work on earth may be ceased as far as a physical thing, but the work can continue on. Can continue on by placing Bibles in someone's name and thinking about someone and so forth. Also, I'd like to mention the thinking of you card, someone that you might be thinking about, maybe having a hard day or whatever, that you might want to place a Bible or Bibles, and they'll receive a card and let them know what's taking place. Also, we have another card here, and this is a recognition card, someone that perhaps have a birthday or an anniversary or graduation from high school or college or something like that. You can place some Bibles in their honor, so to speak. And it's just a way of keeping God's word continually going out into this lost and dying world. Thank you, Brother Dan. God bless you.
Thank you. Ray, thank you very much. Just a question this morning. How many of you have ever received a Gideon New Testament or Bible? It was given to you. Just show a hand here. Look at that. Just about every one of you has. And it's interesting. If Ray had been here as an ordained minister speaking to you today, you'd expect him to be saying what he was saying, right? He's not an ordained minister. Ray runs his own heating and air conditioning company in Hopkinsville. Howard Hendricks said years ago, as a minister speaking to a group, he said, you know, they pay me to be good. You people are good for nothing. Here's a guy who's being good for nothing, but he's come and he shared with us, not only today, but he shares God's word. And he's giving God's word. And it's Christians doing that. Beth, can we sing a hymn before we leave here this morning? I'm putting her on the spot, by the way. You prayed for Ray a while ago. We prayed for Beth as we turn to 404 in the hymn book. I believe I'm right with that. Yes, a solid rock. Let's stand together and sing the four verses of Mr. Moat's good hymn.
Thank you.
close with a word of prayer. Will you join me, please? Father, we remember the testimony that you gave us through the prophet Isaiah, that all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is as the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades away, but the word of our God will endure forever. We're thankful, Lord, that you have given us the written word of God that tells us about the living word of God, and that you've raised up any number of organizations and faithful men and women and young people who are sharing your word in various venues. Thank you for the Gideons, and we pray for them today, Father, that organization, that you would keep them true to yourself, that you would bless their efforts, that you would give them wisdom as they do what they do, and that indeed your word would not return to you void, as that passage in Isaiah that Ray read to us declares. We pray, Father, that as we think of people being faithful to you, that we would see not only Mr. Hancock, but so many others who are serving in this particular organization as laymen, serving at their own expense, but serving you faithfully as an example to keep on keeping on and doing what we can be and should be about as we live here these few short years and then anticipate your return or going home with you. So we lift these things to you now. We thank you for this morning together. We pray that you would be pleased to keep each one safe as they go back to their homes, and may the truth that we've heard today not return empty-handed, Father. May it have a very strong encouragement in each of our hearts and lives. For we ask this in Jesus' name, and for his sake, may we say it together. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. We're dismissed.